Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This miracle of our Lord Jesus Christ in the healing of a certain woman with an issue of blood is a very unusual miracle. Unlike all the other miracles where Jesus Christ was confronted by the sick individual or by the person who was demon-possessed, Jesus Christ was actually on his way to heal Jairus' daughter. News had arrived that this ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name, who fell at his feet and said that his daughter was lying at the point of death, as verse 22 and 23 tell us. And then on his way there, this incident, this miracle occurred. But even though it may appear as if Jesus Christ was not aware of what was happening, he was in total, absolute control. This woman who had an issue of blood was in a very, very sad and difficult stage of her life. She was struck down with this issue of blood for the past 12 years. What exactly is her life like to have an issue of blood in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ? We would assume that she would probably be an Israelite woman, and that's why she wanted to be healed, because Jesus Christ came to save God's people. Please turn with me to Leviticus chapter 15, verse 19, where we will have a glimpse of what her life would be like to have an issue of blood. Leviticus 15, verse 19. And if a woman have an issue, and her issue in the flesh be blood, that is an issue of blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, because this will be the period of time, and whosoever toucheth her shall be unclean until the even. And everything that she lieth upon in her separation, that means during this period of 7 days, shall become unclean. Everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening or even. And whosoever toucheth anything that she set upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And if it be on her bed or on anything whereon she sitteth, when he toucheth it, he shall be unclean until the even. And if any man lie with her at all, and her flowers be upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and all the bed whereon he lieth shall be unclean. And if a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, that means more than 7 days, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation, she shall be unclean. Every bed whereon she lieth all the days of her issue shall be upon her as the bed of her separation, and whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her separation. And whosoever toucheth those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. But if she be cleansed of her issue, then she shall number to herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. Now this would be the life that she lived for the past 12 years. The verse that applied to her has to be verse 25. If a woman have an issue of her blood many days out of the time of her separation. Now this would be the monthly cycle period of a woman. She will be unclean for 7 days. This would usually be the time period for a woman. But in her case, the blood did not stop. It kept on flowing. So for the past 12 years of her life, everyone would avoid her. The moment you become unclean spiritually, even though it may be for the rest of the day, remember they count the day from evening to evening. So if you come into contact with her at 12 noon, for the rest of the day, that would be 6 hours until 6 p.m., you'll be unclean. You can't participate in any religious activities. You can't go to the temple and bring your offering. Anything that is spiritual in nature, you will be barred until you are clean again. And in her case, her loved ones will not come into contact with her, They won't even come into contact with the places that she touched, that she sat upon, the bed that is hers. Nobody will want to clean it. Nobody want to touch it. The moment you touch the bed, you help her make her bed, you'll be unclean. The moment you sit on the chair that she sat upon, you'll be unclean. You can't touch her, you can't come into contact with her, and so for 12 years, unless you love her so much that you are prepared to turn your entire day into non-spiritual or unclean, then you come into contact with her, then you touch her. If she was married, you can't even hug her as children. You even can't hug her as a husband unless you want to be unclean. And if she loves the Lord and she loves you, she won't want you to come into contact with her because she doesn't want you to be unclean. Now, this was her life for 12 long years, a life of being ostracized by society because people would know that she was unclean. She had this issue of blood for 12 long years and has suffered many things of many physicians. She tried. Not that she loved it, she wanted to get rid of it. Who wants to live a life where nobody would come into contact with you? Nobody will want to touch the things that you have touched. And so she sought as many physicians as she could afford. She was prepared to do anything to get herself cured so that this issue of blood will stop. And she spent all that she had, and it was nothing better, but in fact, the Bible said, but rather grew worse. Her condition worsened with the passage of time. With every treatment that she sought, there was no healing. It got from bad to worse. Her life was miserable, to say the least. You and I know that in society, we cannot live without contact. We cannot live without people. We cannot live without touching, especially from friends, from people that we care about. We want them to touch us and we want to touch them. This is how we show and express our love for one another, parents and children, especially young babies, little ones. They need to be hugged, they need to be touched in order for them to have a wholesome upbringing. Parent-child contact, very, very important. That's how God has made us. But when you are in a state of uncleanness for 12 long years, her life was miserable. To have no one touching her, to have no one coming near her, and every time she touched something, nobody would want to touch that thing after her. You can't imagine that kind of life. It's like a person who has some kind of external disease that you can see, and then you see that this person's disease is so contagious that you don't want to go near that person. Every time you see this person near you, you want to walk away. How do you think that person felt? She felt this way. She lived like this for 12 years. Nobody wanted her near. And in her state of desperation, she heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all. She heard, that's what the Bible says, when she had heard of Jesus, this man was different, this man was special. And so she wanted to be healed. No matter what, she heard about his miracles, she heard about his claims, she heard that she knew that this man said that he is God. She heard that Jesus Christ said that the one who has seen me has seen God. He is able to heal all diseases, even demons are afraid of him. She heard only. She has not seen, she has not witnessed, because nobody wanted her around them. Nobody invited her to any party. Nobody invited her to any home. Nobody invited her to any meal, any feast, because she was unclean. And if you allow her to join you for dinner at 6 something, that means for the rest of the entire day until the next day at 6 p.m., you will be unclean. That was her life. And she must have been used to that kind of life because it was 12 long years. And so in great desperation and need, she heard of Jesus and then she came in the press behind. There was this crowd that was thronging the Lord Jesus Christ and she was way behind. So there would be this crowd between Jesus and her. And she said, if I would just simply touch his garment, held on to his garment, that's what it means by touch. There is another word in Greek for the word touch, which in King James they translated as the word handle. Like a time when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared after his death and in the resurrected body, he told the disciples, look at me, I'm not a phantom, I'm real. See my neoprene hands and see the spear, the side of me. Look at the, you can handle me. Now the word handle, that means just to touch the surface. This word touch is not just touching the surface. This word touch means to hold on, to handle something, to hold something in your hand whereby you believe that you could be changed by it. This word, to grip, to hold on and not let go. Now this was the word that was used to describe the Mary who held on to Christ. She touched Christ. And Jesus says, don't touch me. She was holding on to Christ and not letting Christ ascend to heaven. And that's why Jesus told her, don't touch me. She was not just touching on the surface. She was holding on and not let go. This is the word. All I needed to do is to touch his garment. And she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And the word whole here, I shall be saved. All right, you look at verse 34, where Jesus said to her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. The word whole, the first time, thy faith hath made thee whole. Same word used by her, I shall be whole, I shall be saved. But the word whole used by Christ, the second one, and be whole of thy plague means be healed. Be completely healed of your issue of blood. Same English word, but two different words with two different emphases. I will be saved. Now, which one was she crying to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ for? Was it to be healed of her issue of blood so that she could be received by society, she would be accepted by society, she will no longer be ostracized by family and friends and even by strangers, that the things that she touched will no longer be unclean and no longer be tainted by her uncleanness? What was she believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to give to her? To be saved from what? That's what she prayed for. I shall be saved. I shall be whole. Sure, if she was to be healed of her issue of blood, everything else would be whole, complete. Her life in society, everything will be whole. But based upon this encounter and based upon the deliberate use of the word saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to conclude that what she believed in was the word that Jesus Christ said, that I am the Messiah, I am the Son of God, which she heard only. She did not see anything. She heard only, and she said, all I need is just to touch the garment of the Son of God. I will be saved. I will be brought back into complete salvation. I will be saved. She believed in this. And that's why Jesus said to her, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith has saved thee. And now I will heal you. She wanted to be saved. She wanted to be healed more than to be healed physically. She wanted to be healed in the soul because she understands far better than all of us because of her 12 years as a woman that was unclean, that everybody regarded her as unclean. She understood the separation that she had with God because the condition in her that was physical, that kept her away from society, she understood the deeper condition that was in her life, sin, that has kept her away from God, not just for 12 years, but for her entire life. She can understand and appreciate, which you and I don't, because you and I do not carry with us a disease that is able to cause other people to be unclean because of us, whereby we are ostracized from society. Maybe during the period of SARS, maybe during the period of a contagious disease whereby if you enter into the hospital, you come into contact, if you are not dressed in the protective gear, you would also get the disease and you could also be killed. Now, we had that moment. She had it for 12 years. We had it only for a brief period of time. That if you were struck down by that kind of disease, you have to die alone. Remember SARS? You don't want your loved ones near you. You have to say goodbye to them over the intercom, over your phone, breathing your last breath. You don't want your loved ones, you don't want your children to come into contact with you. So you have to die in the hospital all by yourself because you know that if they breathe the air that you breathe, if they get your disease, they too will die. And you don't want them to die. But for her, it was 12 years. And so she realized what it was like to have sin in her and to be separated from God where she can never go near to God. And if she dies in a sin, she will be permanently and eternally separated from God and she would find herself in hell. And that is a state and condition that every one of us as a sinner, if you are not born again in Christ, you are still in. That's what sin will do to us. Sin will bar us from having any fellowship and any kind of walk with God. We can't go near to God because of our sin. God will not hear your prayers. Everything that you have done will not help you, will not negate or diminish the seriousness of the filth that we are in because of our transgression. We lie, we cheat, we deceive our heart, worship idols. All these are serious transgressions that have made us unclean, that will bar us from having any interaction with God. And there is no one, nothing on this earth, just like no physician, no matter how much money she had, could heal her. There is nothing on this earth that can save us from sin, from death, and from hell. Nothing. She understood this better than us because of her state and her condition. So in that sense, that state and condition of the issue of blood for the past 12 years did her a lot of good. A lot of good, because she was confronted by a deeper, deeper transgression, a deeper experience that perhaps without the issue of blood, she would not have realized. But now she did. Why do you think the Bible tells us that it is better to be found in the house of mourning than the house of feasting? Because in the house of mourning, you and I are confronted by death. When a person is diseased, when a person is stricken with a terminal illness, that person is confronted by death. That person doesn't have to attend a wake or a funeral to be confronted by death. That person is confronted by death everywhere he goes, as long as the terminal illness is still in him. Isn't that true? And he will stare death in the face because he has been told that you have only a few more months to live. And that would be good news if he were to do something about it. If he were to turn to the Savior to save him just as this woman believed. All you need is to hear about Christ and believe. That's it. Jesus Christ is not going to come down from heaven and be crucified all over again to save us. He has already done so. He has already completed it. All you need is to hear. Hear about what? Hear that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down from heaven to be born of the Virgin so that he would be born perfect, without sin, fully God and fully man. He already existed in heaven. He came down from heaven to be a man in order to save man, to save us, to save you and to save me from sin. That has kept us away from God all the days of our lives, whereby we have no fellowship, our prayers have never been heard by God as a sinner without Christ. And Jesus Christ revealed himself to us that I am indeed the Son of God. You look at the miracles that I have done, even storms and winds. Listen to him. He is the Creator. Even the demons listen to him and they obey him. And they obey only God. And they themselves acknowledge and admit he is the Son of God. They testify to the truth. And he is the Lord Jesus Christ who came to become man And then he suffered, and then he died because of your sins and my sins. And this is due to the love that God has for you. He sent Jesus Christ to die for you so that you do not need to die for your own sin. And all you need is to believe, just as she did. If only I may touch, hold on to him, believe. She heard only, and she believed. The same Jesus that she touched, the same Jesus you can also touch today. Hold on to him, and he will change you, just as she believed. He could change her. He could save her. He could make her whole. And she would not allow the crowd to prevent her from holding on to touch Christ. And so even though there was a big crowd that separated her from Christ, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up the moment she held on to the garment of Christ. Now this is not stated in Mark chapter 8, verse 28 and verse 29. But if you were to turn to Luke chapter 8, verse 44. Luke chapter 8, verse 44, it described exactly what she did. Okay? Luke 8, verse 44. She came behind him and touched, held on to the border of Christ's garment. Okay, you see that in verse 44, Luke 8. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. That means it dried up. It stopped flowing. Instantaneously, it dried up. Verse 29 of Mark chapter 5. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Instantaneously. Just like salvation, instantly. It's not going to be a slow, gradual process whereby you are a totally depraved sinner, and then slowly, little by little, from total depravity, you now have partial depravity, and then finally, ultimately, complete holiness and no more depravity. That is not what Jesus Christ will do. That's not what Jesus Christ did for this woman. Instantaneously, she was made whole. Instantaneously, she was saved within her soul, within her heart. She knew it. She experienced it. She experienced the complete salvation, healing. Sure, the words in verse 34 of Mark 5 were the words of Christ that describe an experience she already had. All Jesus Christ said in verse 34 is for our benefit and for the benefit of the multitude. The rest did not know. Jesus knew. Jesus' power and salvation is not universalism, whereby Jesus Christ died on the cross and automatically everyone will be healed. So many of them touched Christ, just as the disciples themselves said. Because Jesus Christ immediately knowing in himself, verse 30, the virtue, the power had gone out of him to heal this woman. He turned himself about in the press and then said, "Who touched my clothes?" Jesus Christ knew what happened. He was in absolute total control. It may appear as if it was accidental, in inverted commas, as he was on his way to Jairus' house. And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? What are you talking about? So many people are touching you, holding you, hanging around you. You are surrounded by a big crowd, a multitude. In the press means very tight crowd. What do you mean by who touched you?" They did not know what Jesus was talking about. She knew. It's not universalism. Jesus Christ died on the cross and his death is sufficient to take away all the sins of the world. But it is not automatic. If you don't believe in God's love through Christ, if you do not believe that Jesus Christ died for you with all your heart the way that she believed, please realize the serious state and condition that a sinner is in. She understood because of 12 years of her issue of blood. She experienced it when the whole society, when her family, everybody deserted her, unless they want to become unclean by touching her and the things that she used. And she understood and experienced it because there was a deeper problem in her life, and that was sin. And that's why she believed that by simply touching even the garments of Christ, She would be saved. She would be made whole. And with that belief, the moment she touched, because it was Christ. Christ saved her. Christ felt the virtue, the power that went out from him to save her. Just as you believe tonight that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin with all your heart, that separation that you have with God, your Creator, from the day you were born till now, no matter how many years, it will be removed instantaneously. You will be made whole. God wants you back home to be with him, to be in heaven. You have been made in the image of God. And because of sin, that image of God is terribly, terribly marred and distorted. That you look at a person today who has the image of God, and you can hardly find the image of God in an unbeliever's behavior and life. Even though you can see that he is different from the rest of creation. He can create, he can appreciate, he can speak, he has self-consciousness, he can know who he is, he has self-determination. And yet, you look at his behavior, look at his life, he is worse than a beast. And that has separated us from God. And I hope you realize, just as she realized her loss, her tragedy, and how sad a life she had been living. You must realize that if you want to substitute God with the things of the world, with mammon, it's a very poor substitute. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to know that you are made whole, you have been saved. The kind of transformation in your life, you will know it just as she felt it. So would you. You would know it because your life will be changed from inside out. Your ambitions all will be transformed. Everything that you once thought was so important in your life to your life, like money, positions, promotion, all these things suddenly will lose its glitter and it will simply fade into nothingness. That is the transformed life. And you will open your eyes to a spiritual realm that is glorious, that is beautiful, that is eternal, that you never knew existed until you believe in Christ and be made whole by him, which he did. And so your disciples do not understand. They use the same word as Christ used. Who touched me? What did you ask that? And then he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. And the woman realized, and she feared and she trembled, knowing what was done in her. She came and then she fell down before the Lord Jesus Christ and told him everything. And then Jesus reassured her, "Daughter, I'm not going to take that away from you. I'm not going to strike you down with issue of blood all over again. I know what's happening. Your faith, your belief in me, which this multitude did not believe, you believe. Out of so many who pressed the Lord Jesus Christ, who were only with him because they were curious. But not her. She was desperate. She was in need. And she knew she was in need. The journey of salvation begins with the knowledge that you are in need. You are in sin, and therefore you are in desperate need, just like this woman, to have your relationship with your Creator healed. It is now fractured and separated by your uncleanness, which is sin. All you need is to believe, and that's what she did. And so Jesus commended her and said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith has saved thee. Now you go in peace. You now have peace with God. I will also heal you of your plague. Your plague will never return ever again." Or you may stop right now, but it could also come back. And so Jesus assured her, it will never come back. You are now healed. Be whole of the plague completely. And so her life restored back to society with family and friends, whereby no longer will everything she touch be tainted by her issue of blood, which would cause others to become unclean. You just imagine the kind of witness and testimony that she could bear for the Lord Jesus Christ to tell the whole world, her family, her friends, that now I am no more unclean. Not only am I healed of my issue of blood, where no man can touch and heal me, but this Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, he did. He not only healed me of this issue of blood, which is a testimony and the evidence of the real healing. He saved me. He saved me from sin. He saved me from death. He saved me from hell. He saved me, and he could also save you. All you need is to believe, because all I did was to believe. I didn't pay for it. I didn't do any work for it. All I did was to believe. And he affirmed this. He told me. He told me, Jesus says, thy faith had made thee whole. And that's all we need to do today, tonight, to believe. But it must begin with a need, a desperate need. If you were to die in your sin right now, dear friends, it's all over. It's eternity in hell and ultimately in the lake of fire, a place of great torment and pain and gnashing of teeth. And there is no end to that. It is an eternal pain and suffering that will befall you. That God says, I do not desire to see any sinner go there. And that's why I loved you and I sent my only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you so that you will not have to die in your own sin and end up in the lake of fire. All you need is to believe. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts, O Lord, that none of us may reject the love that you have for us. For you sent thy only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save us. For all of us were once like this woman, covered in sin, unclean, separated from God Almighty, because we can never go near you because of the uncleanness, because of the sin that is in us. We thank thee, O Lord, for thy love for us in Christ Jesus, that all we need, like this woman, is to believe from the depths of our soul, to see and understand the desperate need that we have for the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is able to save us, to make us whole and complete. And we come like this woman to thee, O Lord, and all we need is to touch the Lord Jesus Christ and to be changed and to be transformed by him and to be made whole. And like this woman, we pray, O Lord, that this is our experience tonight for all of us, to hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ, to touch him, because we believe. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.